Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good Sunday morning from the Kia Studios, nine floors up, Colony Square here in Midtown, waiting for the sun to come up on a game day Sunday. Sam Crenshaw with you on this side of the glass. Greg is here. He's on the other side of the glass, but he'll be on this side of the glass at certain times during our show. We're here with you till six until 10 this morning. So glad you're with us. So glad you're with us for a number of reasons. First, it's divisional playoff weekend for the NFL. We will dive into that big time today. It is the day before the national championship game for college football. We will be talking about that today as well. But man, first of all, talk about the things outside now, atmospheric conditions. When we left you yesterday, we were saying we were anticipating some weather that was going to come through our area that was going to be pretty nasty, and it kind of lived up to it in some areas. So we hope that all is well wherever you may be in our listening area. If you've had some trees down or some power lines down, you're getting the services and support that you need because it did roll through, and as advertised, it shut a lot of things down. Man, I was watching a roof come off a building up in Rome and out in Carroll County. You guys got some things going on out there in Villarica and Bremen with some storm damage, big time up and around Cartersville and Floyd County, seeing some things that have happened down there. For a time, there was a ground stop at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. No planes, no flights because of the weather that came through that was so severe with the high winds and the rain that caused us some damage. And we remember yesterday they moved up the start of the Georgia basketball game down at Auburn so that the game could be completed and everybody could be, on their way home by the time the inclement weather came through. So it has moved through our area and went on off to eastern part of the country. And late last night it was going through places like down in Augusta and the Carolinas. But our area is in the clear right now. There is more rain expected this week. I think yesterday was about 100%. I saw someone forecast tomorrow almost a 90%. So we're going to get more rain around here the next couple of days, but hopefully nothing to the magnitude of yesterday and doing that type of damage. So we hope that all is well in your area, wherever you are and around your house. Nothing has been damaged. And if it has been, you've been able to reach out to the proper people and get the kind of support that you need to get things cleaned up and get your power restored. Well, I think I saw a couple of Walmart stores where the power went out last night. Folks in there shopping, all of a sudden all the lights go out. So that happened around the area, but hopefully all of that is back on and going for today. My goodness, what more can you say about these divisional playoffs and about this team from Nashville, Tennessee? A little toe-tapping music, if you please. They've done it again. They knocked out a team that a lot of people saw making it all the way to the Super Bowl because of the team that the Titans eliminated last week. If anybody called Vegas and put some money down before the playoffs started about who they thought would be in the Super Bowl representing the AFC, Patriots are usually there, and the Ravens have been quite impressive this season. I think a lot of folks, the smart money, would probably have been on a couple of those, and they're both gone. Patriots gone last week, and now the Ravens have been eliminated by the Tennessee Titans, who have just caught fire. Sometimes it's the team that does it all season long, folks, and you just know it week after week after week. But sometimes it's that team that gets that little spark, you know, late in the season, and they get on a roll and able to keep people healthy and just keep doing what they're doing each week. And right now, the Titans look like that team. Do we use the D word? Do we say destiny? The way they're playing and the way they're making it happen? My goodness, to go to Baltimore and get that win and really find ways to kind of bottle up and frustrate Lamar Jackson. If you look at his numbers, Jackson had a lot of numbers, but where it counts on the scoreboard didn't happen. I mean, Jackson, 31 of 59, 365 yards, one touchdown, but two interceptions and a fumble loss, and those are the two stats that really jump out for the Ravens in their offense. Mark Ingram, pretty limited at running back, only six carries, 22 yards, and Jackson ran for 143 yards. So everything was on him last night, and Titans clearly had a plan for it. They, you know, they're bend but don't break. You're going to get some yards, but when it comes down to the big plays, we're going to show up. And that's what happened with this Tennessee defense. And on offense, my goodness, just all you got to say is Derrick Henry. Just give him the ball and let him go do what he did. And you saw what he did last week against the Patriots. You wondered if he could come back and do that again this week against a defense like the Baltimore Ravens. 30 carries, 195 yards. That's old school. That's old school to see a running back carry the ball 30 times in a game. Just kind of don't do that in today's NFL. But it happened last night. 195 yards. And Ryan Tannehill in this rebirth or reinvention of Tannehill last night throws for 2 touchdowns, but only threw for 88 yards. 88, not 188, not 288, just 88 yards passing from him in the game. But it was just enough, wasn't it? Just enough to get that win. And so the Titans move on after the win over the Ravens. And in the NFC, 49ers over the Vikings. Vikings, you know, run comes to a close, and the Niners do what they have to do. People talked about Garoppolo. What would he do in a playoff game? He showed you yesterday. They just much, of course, Falcons fans had to watch his former Falcon Tevin Coleman had a big game, over 100 yards rushing and a couple of touchdowns. Niners moving on. So later on today, we're going to have more NFL action here, and we're going to get into that too. Two more games coming up. Big battle between four of the top quarterbacks will be squaring off today. And when you think about that, that's entertaining. Great teams, but just four fantastic quarterbacks are going to put on a show today in the second day of divisional playoffs. That's going to be huge, going to be huge. Here today, coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got a lot coming up for you. We got National Football League, obviously, NFL playoffs. Those games are going to be over on 1380 WAOK. 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock kickoff for Houston and KC, and 6:15 pregame, 6:40 kickoff for Seattle and Green Bay. We will have the Hawks and the Brooklyn Nets, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip, as the Hawks play in Brooklyn later on today. Just getting started. Coming up next, more about the NFL postseason games coming up. And later on, Kyle Sandy going to get us set for some MLK weekend high school basketball action. We're just getting started on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Mark Vrabel saying, hey, I use some of the strategies just like Rocky. I'm the underdog. I got nothing to lose. I'm going to throw it out there and get a win. And it happened again last night as the Tennessee Titans derail the Baltimore Ravens. 28-12, the final score in that game. And now they await the winner of the game coming up later on today. Take on for the AFC. That will be Kansas City against Houston. We see which teams come out of that to advance to the AFC Championship game. Welcome back, everyone, to Weekend Morning, Sunday edition, your Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam Crenshaw with you. Greg is on the other side of the glass. We will see him on this side of the glass. As we were back yesterday, if you weren't listening yesterday, you missed our triumphant return of Sam and Greg on the same side of the glass. And Saturday, so we'll be back every Saturday from 6 until 9, and hope you will join us for sports talk, fun, entertainment, enlightening information, and a little chaos. We kind of do all those things on Saturday morning, so I hope that you will join us for that. But today, of course, is day two of the divisional playoffs, and man, a lot to live up to today's game after what happened yesterday. And we just heard the coach talking about the Ravens, we're talking about battling the Ravens, the things they had to do that forced them out of what they enjoyed doing. Let them get yards, but make them settle for field goals. Do things to frustrate them and try to slow down Lamar Jackson, who got yards, but when it counted, when it mattered, that defense came up and found ways to shut him down. It doesn't take away totally from the great season that Jackson and the Ravens have had, although there was this disappointment because a number one seeds usually don't go out first game. Only second time it's ever happened. So this was big for that to go out. And then happening there in Baltimore as well. These Titans, we call them the Road Warriors, the Nashville Road Warriors, or the Music City Road Warriors, or whatever you want to call them, because that's what they're doing. They don't mind going on the road. They don't mind not sleeping in their own bed. They just know they want to go out and get a win and bring it back. And that's what they've done. Derrick Henry, oh, by the way, not just running the ball, but that junk pass. Does Nick Saban know he could do that? I remember seeing Tim Tebow do that move for Florida, but Saban's got somebody that could do that, and he didn't Or did Saban even know he could do it? I don't know that. But that wasn't used. We all, of course, when we see that jump pass, we all think Tim Tebow, and that's what we kind of call it now whenever we see it, regardless of who does it, even if it's not the quarterback. And that was the case last night. It's your running back that's able to deliver that pass for a touchdown and kind of maybe catch the Ravens off guard for the win. So that's what happened with the game, you know, last night. They were the winners last night. And, of course, San Francisco, the winner 24-10 over Minnesota. Now the game's coming up later today. And I just think it's great display of some of the great quarterbacks in the league, these games that are going to come on today. I think it's going to be a lot of excitement, fun to watch. And, you know, you got some quarterbacks who are playing that have shown us throughout their careers that the game is never over until you got the three zeros, you know, on the clock. They've shown us that the guys that were going today, Watson, Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, you never count these guys out of the game. And that's why you got this, to me, this air of excitement in both of these contests of what we may get to see later on today. Houston, obviously, and we saw what Watson did to get them to the win last week in the dramatic play in overtime, which was to set up the winning field goal, and what he does, just his determination. Wonder what he's going to tell his team this week. They're on the road in Kansas City, which is a very difficult place to play and win. But last week, of course, he dropped that message on them. Why not me? Why not us? Why not now? Why can't it be us to go out and do something great? And they did it. They went out and did something great. So now Houston at 10-6 take on this Kansas City team, 12-4. That, you know, I guess because of what was happening in Baltimore, you can't say Kansas City's flying below the radar, but there was so much attention on Baltimore, so much on, you know, on Lamar Jackson. We can't forget about Mahomes, can we? I don't think so. I mean, and what he's capable of doing and the quick strike that offense can have, well, they can make a scoreboard explode. They will be front and center today, and we'll see what Houston can do. The defense, J.J. Watt, who was healthy again and was back for the playoff win last week. What, if anything, they can do to try to slow this team down. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that game. It's, like I say, the 3:05 start. And, of course, we're going to have that game for you on our sister station downstairs around the corner. Well, our cousin station, like they call it. 1380 WAOK is where you're going to hear the NFL coming up today because we have Hawks basketball here on 92.9 The Game. Houston and Kansas City, once again, the pregame is at 2:30 and the kick is at 3 for the AFC game coming up later on today. And then, of course, the NFC game, 6:15 pregame, 6:40 is the kickoff for Seattle at Green Bay. And that's just a classic showdown. It really is. It's just a classic matchup of two quarterbacks with two teams that have played their way into this postseason. And you want to see what Aaron Rodgers is able to do. We know we watched a lot with Russell Wilson. It's going to be fun. Seattle does well on the road. They're 7-1 on the road. So, I mean, being in Green Bay probably won't be that big a deal for them. They'll go in there and play great ball. Still, the Packers are home. And we'll see what Rodgers is able to put together and able to do. I mean, great season. Both have had tremendous seasons, over 4,000 yards. These guys are racked it up this year. So it looks like that's going to be an entertaining game, you know, as well. And we watch and see what happens with that one. And, you know, that's what makes this time of year exciting. You know, when you're going to watch another playoff game and watch and see what happens, how that goes. It could come down to the run game. Could come down to some great receivers playing both for both teams. But playing in Green Bay is always a difficult assignment in the playoffs, always difficult in postseason to go in there and get a victory. We'll see if Seattle can do that today. Greg and I was talking a little bit before we came on, and like I say, he's on the other side of the glass, and he talked about coaches and coaching styles, and we're seeing some coaches who've been assistants to Belichick succeed and beat him as we think about the coach now with the Titans to do that. And we think about that compared to the college football playoffs we're going to see tomorrow night and think about coaches you know, who've gone up against Saban's assistants and how they haven't had a chance to get any success against him. Now, he's not in the playoffs, but we think about the college coaches and guys who've been successful, especially here at the University of Georgia with Coach Smart. I guess the difference, is, you know, you got the same people you get to build something up with, whereas in college you got people coming in and new players that are, you know, you have to make adjustments with. Somehow, the guy at Clemson, who is not an assistant to Saban, but draws a lot of comparisons to him, has found a way to consistently do that. And that's something Sweeney, Dabo Sweeney. And we're going to get to somebody in the 8 o'clock hour who knows him well and knows about the Clemson program well, who's going to join us in studio. So I want you to make sure and stay tuned for that as we get into that a little bit and talk about the championship game coming up tomorrow night, because it's a huge, huge time for football as the NFL pares down to its conference championships with the wins come up later on today. And we're all waiting for what happens tomorrow night down in New Orleans. And I guess gives folks down in New Orleans something to be excited about, too. With the Saints going out last week, they feel like LSU is basically playing in their backyard, and that's going to provide a lot of fun. So maybe, you know, the Saints fans, who are not happy at all, once again, they go out, and I know some of them are listening, they go out with something, a problem with officiating, which is not, you know, something that, why has it always happened to them? I don't know. It just seems to happen with them. But they are probably watching and hoping that they can be still have something to celebrate if LSU can come through with the win down there tomorrow night. That's going to be an awful a lot of fun. So these 2 days are big. Well, the last 3 days, you count yesterday, big always for college football and for football, period. And things that we pay a lot of attention to here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So I hope you'll be listening. If you've heard all week, you've heard a lot of previews, you've heard a lot of interviews, a lot of it's on our website too, people we've talked to about these games and who they think is going to come out on top as far as tomorrow night goes. And by the time we end the day, I'll let you know who I think. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you from the Kia Studios. A game day Sunday. It's divisional playoff actions in the NFL. Move on today. But, of course, it is the high school basketball season. I like to take a pause, usually at this stage in the show, and talk some high school hoops. Kyle Sandy joins us from Kyle Sandy on his website. Sandy Spiel, tell us a little about high school actions. Kyle, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing all right. It's a weekend and some games. There were some high school games yesterday that were like postponed due to the weather, even though they were playing the games inside. I guess they were close to the time that the storm was supposed to come in. So I don't know if those games are going to be made up, but there were a couple of games that were dropped yesterday. But there was some action. I think there's a really big girls event that took place out at Archer yesterday.
Yeah, they had the Huddle Classic. I know it used to be like the crossover class, but the Huddle Classic now. There was a lot of good basketball over there. I know Grayson and Cherokee, that was a premier matchup over there. Cherokee girls, who are really good, been sitting in that three spot in the top 10 for a long time now in Class 7A, ended up pulling out that game by 3 points. I believe Wesleyan and the Douglas game, I believe that game was actually canceled because of that weather, like you mentioned. But, yeah, the Huddle Classic, a really good event. And there's a lot of good girls basketball in the state of Georgia. Sometimes we forget when we get overshadowed by the Sharif Coopers of the world and all the great boys players. But girls basketball is very good, and yesterday was just another great example of it.
So communicating with you earlier in the week, there was some high school basketball going on in a different place, the place that we usually see the College Park Skyhawks play. The Gateway Center had some high school hoops going on this week.
Yeah, Woodward Academy, and we had North Clayton. It was the Battle of College Park, two really good games there. North Clayton girls came out 21-5 on top of Woodward Academy, who's ranked number 4 in Class 4A, but the girls team came back really strong. They got that super sophomore Sydney Bull. She had about 32 points in the win. She's going to be a big-time player. If you have not already seen her, she's about a 5'11 guard, so she's going to have a ton of offers by the time she's a senior. And then on the boys' side, Woodward Academy, just a little too strong with Walker Kessler and company, ended up winning 79-65, but Xavier Valley, Jermaine Lattimore, guys like that played really well for North Clayton. But when you got a 7-footer going to North Carolina, sometimes the pieces all fall into place, and Woodward Academy is going to be really tough to beat in Class 4A.
Yeah, you got them sitting up on top of that Class 4A at this juncture of the season. Think they may have more high school basketball at that facility down in College Park?
I mean, they should. It's a nice, cozy arena. It's not like ginormous, so I don't know if they're ever going to be able to hold a Final Four or anything like that, but I could see one-day events or showcase events, going over there and filling up the crowd. Really nice arena, my first time over there, but I came away very impressed, and I think it would behoove the Atlanta Hawks, College Park Skyhawks, and just the GHSA in general to have some more events over there because it's a really nice area.
Yeah, watch for that. Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Kyle Sandy. Always keeping an eye on high school hoops, and you can follow him on Twitter at KyleSandy355, Sandy355. Next weekend has become such a big weekend for high school basketball in this area. Well, just around the country, but especially around here during the MLK weekend. And there's a special event that you have coming up that you're going to be involved with, right, Kyle?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, the Sandy Spill Showcase. I'm having a nice little event over there at Lanier High School. Three boys games, three girls games. Pretty excited about the field we have. Got some really good teams, really good players. On the girls' side, we have number 8, Eagles Landing Christian Academy. They're playing North Cobb, who's really good. Eagles Landing Christian has a Vernica Hip. She's going to Clemson. North Cobb has a Zonya Austin going to Alabama A&M. They play at 1:30 to tip off the event. We got Elko Boys versus GAC Boys, who's ranked number 7. That's a 3 o'clock start, 4:30 start time. We have Hart County Girls versus Douglas Lady Astros, defending 2A state champions. 6 o'clock, we have the Hart County Boys, who's currently ranked number 3 in class 3A, going up against Evans, who is currently ranked number 4 in Class 6A, so that's a fun matchup. And then 7:30, Elbert County Girls going up against Lanier, our host school over there in Sugar Hill, who's the defending Class 6A state champs. And then our 9 o'clock game is Elbert County Boys versus St. Ann Pacelli coming from Columbus. So really excited to see all these guys play. Should be a really good event, girls' side, boys' side. A couple schools that don't often get to play in that Metro Atlanta type area, so it's really nice to kind of provide a platform and be able to see everybody at one place.
Yeah, I think you got St. Ann's Pacelli coming from down in Columbus, and you got Evans from down around Augusta that's going to come over. So you're really getting a taste of some teams and programs from around the state, not just the immediate metro area.
Yeah, that's what I love, because sometimes these teams don't get afforded the opportunity to play. In the mecca of high school basketball in Gwinnett County. I mean, Gwinnett County's so good, and now we're able to bring teams from East Georgia, West Georgia, North Georgia, bring them all into one spot and really get to tangle them against teams that they would never really see. 3A schools playing 6A schools, 1A schools playing 7A schools. It's just really fun to see what they do against competition that they don't usually get to see.
King Holiday Weekend, kind of the last chance to do that type thing, too, because after that you're really focusing mainly on your regions and trying to get that seed and your spot for the postseason.
Yeah, it's just a one final tune-up to really go out there and test yourself. We're in the thick of region play right now. Everyone's battling for seeding heading into the region tournament. So what better way to prepare yourself by seeing teams that you don't usually get to see. You're going to have to go out there, get a scouting report from a team that's probably 3 hours away from you. So it's just good to see some diverse styles of play. And, these are all really good teams. A lot of these teams have college players that are committed to play at the next level. So getting out there and getting one last tune-up before focusing on the main goal of getting a good seed heading into the region tournament, it's always a good time to really test yourself one last time.
Once again, that is next Saturday.
Next Saturday, yes, sir, January 18th at Lanier High School, starting at 1:30. Final game tips off at 9 o'clock. Like I said, 3 girls teams, 3 boys teams. We go girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy. So should be a really fun event. Really excited to be out there. And if you can support, great. If not, it's all good. But I'm looking forward to a long, fun day of basketball. And I hope it's nice and dry. I don't want any of this yucky weather like you mentioned before. So hopefully we got it out of our system.
Yeah, I think we got it out of our system. Really, the bad stuff. We're going to get some more rain. But hopefully, nothing else like yesterday that came through our area and left a lot of storm damage. Kyle, we appreciate you, as always, spending some time with us on a Sunday morning. Get us all set. And good luck with that event. We'll come through there and say hello to you next weekend.
Yeah, Sam, I really do appreciate it. Swing on by. Maybe I'll have a free T-shirt for you.
There you go. Hey, I'm going to hold you to that. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you, Sam.
All right. That is Kyle Sandy, always talking high school hoops with us. And once again, I told you, he is social at CalSandy355. Up next, chance to get some cash in your pocket. First one of the morning of this hour. Coming up next hour, Deshaun Tate's going to be here. Coach Tom Crean, Georgia Bulldogs, talking about his team and being young and inexperienced. And we'll talk more about that as we get into our 7 o'clock hour talking college basketball. Sam Crenshaw with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Weekend mornings, I'm on this side of the glass. Greg's on the other side of the glass. Glad you're with us, wherever you may be around the metro Atlanta area and our listening area. And I hope that all is well with you. Mentioning at the top of our show that the storm damage that came through our area yesterday, a lot of cleanup going to be going on around the area today. And a lot of, I guess, the officials from the Weather Service will be going out to survey to see if indeed any of the storm damage was a tornado. They don't just say just on site and what they see that's a tornado. They go out and they do their evaluations. That's going to be happening today as well. But hope all is well where you are, that your power, if it went out, has been restored. If you have a need for cleanup or something in your area, trees or whatever that are down, that you're getting the services that you need to get life kind of back to normal. Because for a while yesterday evening, it came through this area and it was some pretty violent weather. And there's storm damages. We're watching it throughout around the area. But like I said, hopefully it's not too bad where you were. What slowed down to the point that the airport had a ground stop. Hartsfield-Jackson, no planes in or out for a time while the storm was coming through. And there's more rain in the forecast for today. But hopefully and thankfully there'll be nothing to the degree of what we experienced in our area yesterday. Last hour, we were talking a lot about divisional football playoffs, also basketball going on. Deshaun Tate's coming up just a little while. We're going to talk some college hoops. We're going to talk some Hawks because they're going to be here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game later today. They're on the road up at Brooklyn, 5:30 pregame, tip-off at 6 o'clock. And that's coming up later on today. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talked with Coach Crean, game yesterday for Georgia was moved up. Because the storm was coming through down at Auburn, so they played the game at 12 o'clock Eastern time, 11 a.m. Central time, just to get this game played. And Georgia goes there, and not the best outcome. Auburn beats them by a score of 82-60. I don't know if the rest of the fans were able to get there, the students were able to get there to be in the game, because the Auburn Arena is a place for people to go should they have storm damage or a place of refuge. So, the Auburn Athletic Department wanted to make sure that building was available, and that's why they played that game so early yesterday. Auburn is a perfect 15-0, by the way, and Georgia now is at 10-5. They got Tennessee coming up, Mississippi State. Things get no easier for the Georgia team, as they've had quite an eventful week. Wins over Memphis and really playing great against Kentucky. Can't wait to talk with that more about that game with Deshaun Tate in a little while. Georgia Tech gets a win last night, playing on the road up in Boston against Boston College, 71-52. Jackets get a victory there. They're now 3-3 in ACC play, and they're 8-8 overall. So they pull their season record even at .500 for Coach Pastner and his team. Elsewhere around the state, Mercer fell to Western Carolina, 79-71 in Southern Conference. And in the Sun Belt, Southern, Georgia Southern was a winner, 71-51 over Louisiana. Lafayette, I'll say that, people don't like you to say Lafayette. They would just want to be Louisiana, but that's where they're from. And they lose 71-51. Georgia Southern wins that game. They're now 11-7 on the year the Eagles are. On Decatur Street, Georgia State was a winner, 84-62 over Louisiana Monroe. Justin Roberts had 7 3-pointers. I mean, no matter where they gave it to him, as long as he's behind the arc, he was making them yesterday. 23 points in the game, and Georgia State's record improves to 12-6 on the years. They get two back-to-back wins at home, and they hit the road for the Alabama swing part of the conference schedule coming up next week. Stops in Mobile and in Troy, Alabama. We talk about the college football playoff game that's coming up tomorrow, the championship game. And you wonder sometimes, can the basketball team be an inspiration to the football team? Well, yesterday, both Clemson and LSU's basketball teams did something pretty inspirational, I would think, for the team, with just something that was big, the wins that they had. First of all, Clemson playing for the 60th time at Chapel Hill. Clemson was 0-59. Every time they've gone to play North Carolina at Chapel Hill, didn't matter who was playing, didn't matter who was coaching, they came out with a nail. A streak that started in 1926. That's a long time. I mean, just if you're on the Clemson team you know you got to play North Carolina and you head for Chapel Hill, just what kind of mind, what kind of frame of mind do you have to get in if you go into a place where you know what has always happened to your team, what has always happened to your school? Every time you go into that place, it's like the Temple of Doom. And it doesn't matter who was coaching. It could be Dean Smith. it could be Roy Williams. And you just knew what was going to happen. Well, it changed yesterday. And in overtime, Clemson Tigers get the win 79-76, and they win for the first time in Chapel Hill. Like I said, the streak that started back in 1926. I guess they were playing in Carmichael back then. I don't know, Carmichael was up there, the smaller arena before they opened the Dean Smith Center. But maybe some inspiration for the team, for the football team tomorrow, possibly to do something that Clemson basketball team had never done before.
Nah.
You don't?
Nah.
You don't?
But. What? Coach gave his resignation afterwards.
basically. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, it was tongue-in-cheek, and obviously he didn't go anywhere. But it did bring up an interesting thought. We got some guys whose ages are getting up there that have been around for a minute. We talked yesterday and went back and forth about Dabo ain't going nowhere from Clemson to go fill the shoes, as you thought, when Nick Saban steps off to the
Well, he ain't stepped yet.
No, I said when he steps off the stage. You had Dabo going over there. We talked about that. But
we're going to ask that next hour by somebody that knows.
That's fine. Okay, all right. But worst case scenario were to happen before it was expected at North Carolina. Who do you go to get to do that to take over that program?
Wow. And you know I remember when Roy Williams was going to come. He's out of Kansas. And remember they asked him that in their press conference.
And he said, I don't want to talk about it.
Right. And it was on a plane the next day.
Yeah.
But
A, do we care about keeping the perennial winners or top programs at that upper echelon, or and do we enjoy seeing, you know, some of these other programs ascend, or do we just try and find that guy? Because it's so hard right now to continue something. Like, Alabama's going to fall off the map when Saban leaves.
I doubt it.
Hey, they're going to fall. They will not be the Alabama. What was going on at Alabama before Saban got there?
Oh, people don't want to talk about that.
All right, Dan. So, you know, it's the dude who's there, who's doing it. And that's a special kind of coach who landed there, just like we're finding out with Dabo. Roy Williams, I mean, when you don't want to be the dude who follows the dude.
But look at what he had already done where he was at Kansas. He was doing well at Kansas. Now, he had previously been an assistant coach to Dean Smith, so he'd been at North Carolina. So that's the first place you look, who's in the pipeline from that. Because think of all them guys over at Duke who've been sitting there waiting for Coach K to leave, and he won't leave.
No.
And those guys are all going out getting jobs other places.
But are they going to have the same success he had? Again, it's the person. I don't think Duke is going to be anywhere near where they are now moving forward, like for the next decade.
You got some guys that are out there that are former Duke guys that are doing Quinn Snyder's coaching.
There's a lot of them.
Wojo's coaching. Tommy Amaker's coaching. All those guys who played for Coach K.
Right. And let me ask you a question.
Okay.
There's no guarantee they're going to be, A, the recruiters, and B, the coach that Coach K was. Took him a while to become Coach K. Remember we talk about those first 5 years?
Yeah.
Nobody else, if you started coaching now and had the first 5 years that Krzyzewski had, you'd be gone, right? People had to sit back and give him a chance. And because it was Duke, because Duke wasn't Duke then, he got a chance to hang around.
Yeah.
I just getting back to this whole North Carolina thing. Who do you see? I'm asking you. You see stepping in or the right fit to take over that program?
That's a
given
tough
the
question.
People that are hanging around as boosters, by the way, wink, wink, wink.
Yeah. Or people who are hanging around who've been part of the program, like Hubert Davis is back there. He's sitting right there beside Roy Williams. He played in the NBA. He's back. Does that mean he gets a shot at it? I don't know if he would be up for that or not. But there are a number of guys like him who've played at North Carolina, either for Dean Smith or for Roy Williams, that are starting to go up in the coaching ranks. I think that's obviously, having lived and worked in North Carolina, that's where they're going to look first.
Right. Okay.
Obviously, that's what.
What was the was it Florida, the last team that won it in basketball and football the same year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm out on that note.
Why you say that?
That something that made sense. I'm only shut up.
Wow, Florida won it right here in Atlanta in the Georgia Dome. We did that. So there's some thoughts about being inspiration. But we talk about Clemson getting a win. Was it inspirational to the football team? But LSU, not to be outdone, they win on a buzzer beater over Mississippi State. Dramatic fashion, LSU wins yesterday 60-59. So that's the other thing to think about. Can basketball be an inspiration for the football teams? Well, they've certainly done their part to do that part if that's what the teams need, or some more conversation about those teams. And, oh, by the way, we're just missing Mississippi State. In case you're going to be driving downtown today, be on the lookout in the downtown connector for a burgundy, a Merlot, maroon billboard that has been purchased with Mike Leach on it. Yes, folks, the Mississippi State folks have bought a billboard in downtown Atlanta to announce that they have hired Mike Leach as their football coach. So just be on the lookout for it and clank your cowbell a couple of times because they have bought a billboard in downtown. Usually Alabama does that when they're coming to play in town. It's still in the page out of Alabama's playbook. Mississippi State got a billboard they purchased in downtown Atlanta. So be on the lookout today if you're on the downtown connected. Going to talk more college basketball from our personal hoops guru. Sean Tate coming up next. Stay with us on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios here in lovely Midtown Atlanta. Going to have some rain around the area today, but nothing like yesterday, huh? No need more of that. Welcome you into weekend mornings here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam on this side of the glass. Greg's here. He's on the other side of the glass. He'll be checking in with us, especially top of the hour for casting call. But as promised, our personal hoops guru here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Deshaun Tate, joining us this morning. Deshaun, good morning.
Brother Crenshaw, top of the morning to you. Appreciate you for having me on and looking forward to talking some basketball Sunday on a football Sunday.
It's a football Sunday. What's a basketball Sunday? Because there's a certain team that you like to watch. I think it's going to be on TV or what, around 12 noon today or something, 1 o'clock? What time are they starting?
Tipping off at 12 noon.
See, I knew all about your folks. Michigan State is a big game. You guys got the day. Purdue?
Yeah, Purdue at Mackey Arena, a place where Michigan State hasn't won in 6 years, and it's always a hostile environment and a raucous crowd, and they always appear to play really good defense and hit a lot of threes from there. So we'll see. Michigan State's the only team that's undefeated in the Big Ten, so it should be interesting.
Speaking of a place that's been hard to win, nobody's had a harder place to win than Clemson and Chapel Hill, and it finally happened yesterday. I don't know how much you paid attention to that game, since this North Carolina team is clearly struggling and probably trying to make the NIT rather than the NCAA tournament. Roy Williams, after the game, although, you know, it's tongue-in-cheek, all right, saying that he ought to be fired. He let the team down. But thoughts about that happening and just Williams making that type of remark after the game?
Yeah, I thought that was a bit much. Now, I know when he said that he doesn't, you know, this isn't his most talented team and all that other kind of stuff, or this is his least talented team. You know, I was okay with that, especially if that's something that, you know, you say to your guys if you know that that'll fire them up and get them ready to play and things could be different, all that kind of stuff. But the whole fire me stuff, I think, is a little bit over the top. Like you said, a little bit facetious, but, you know, that's not going to happen. The dude has 3 national championships there, and he's a North Carolina alum. So I think it's a little ridiculous. I don't know. I just, it's a little bit much, again. But, you know, this is also a team that lost 80% of its scoring, and it's without its best player in Cole Anthony, who I definitely don't expect to come back. I think he's going to take the James Wiseman route and go ahead and sit out probably until the NBA draft.
NBA draft, yep. You know, and really it's far-fetched for Williams to say that, but if he were to walk away from that job, who think would be next? And usually I think about programs like that. It's kind of like a family with North Carolina. It's usually whoever's been sitting there, someone who's gone there and coached at some other place. Just like Duke, all those guys are sitting around Coach K, or they go and get jobs places. You know they're all waiting for him to walk out the door. Is there one from North Carolina you think would be one that they would instantly turn to?
Yeah, I would imagine that person I would like to think that it would be Hubert Davis. I know there's some other guys that's been sitting in for quite a little while, but Hubert Davis walked away from ESPN so that he could have the opportunity to, you know, coach at his alma mater. And, you know, I've spoken to Hubert Davis a couple times. I know that's something that he's definitely interested in, but, you know, ideally I would think that that would be the person that's next up in line, but if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised at that either.
Yeah, spending time on the waitfor.com outline with Deshaun Tate. He is social. You can follow him on Tate's Take Hoops. Tate's Take Hoops on Twitter, or on the Twitter, as he likes to tell us, and follow all things college basketball. Let's talk about this week for college basketball locally, man. I think the excitement over in Athens this week when Kentucky came, and then just as excited when Duke played at Georgia Tech this week. I was mentioning to Greg yesterday, it takes me back to the days of Durham and Cremins to see those gyms so electric this week. It was a good sign. They didn't win either game, Tech or Georgia, but just the idea there's a level of expectation.
Yeah, it was. And both of them, like you said, were hostile environments, which was good. And both of them were competitive games, something that we expect here in this town, especially over at the Flat. And, you know, Georgia Tech being one of those teams that's keeping it close. And if there was any doubt in mind at all, and I'm not going to say this is completely wiped away now at this point, but Georgia Tech appears to not only be kind of, I'm not going to say turning around, but just improving, I guess. But certainly getting, you know, Jordan Usher back has moved the needle just a tiny bit. You think about the win that they had against Boston College. I mean, Michael DeVoe and Jose Alvarado, neither one of those guys scored in double figures, you know, so I think that that helped them out a lot. And Tony Banks has been playing a really, you know, a lot of really good basketball as of late. And then as far as over on the Georgia side, I think the biggest question is going to be outside of Anthony Edwards, who else are they going to be able to get in there, especially when Ant-Man isn't having a good game? Ideally, that person is Rayshon Hammonds, and he's been playing decent, but not overly great.
Yeah, that's what they need, and I think that's what he needed to step up in the Kentucky game. I mean, Ant-Man just went kind of cold. Kentucky did some things with him, and it would have been nice to have seen someone else step in there and see how that game could have turned out, because Georgia competed very well and led for most of the game.
Yeah, nine new players on that roster as well, so they're one of the youngest. One of the strange things about the SEC, by the way, too, is that the conference itself is having a down year. Outside of Kentucky, you'll usually see Florida and maybe a couple other teams. Last year was LSU, Tennessee. You don't have that this year. They're really just kind of banking on Auburn. I mean, I know that's a surprise, but SEC counting on Auburn basketball to kind of solidify their conference right now.
They showed us yesterday, it doesn't matter what time they started. They started at 11 o'clock their time yesterday because of the storm coming through, and they still went out and took care of business.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Auburn is one of those teams where, you know, I know they're getting a lot of hype and things like that, but Auburn hasn't played anybody this year. They're yet to play a ranked team so far this year. They'll only play one ranked team as of right now, as we see it now that they're in conference play, and that one team is Kentucky. They'll play them twice, and nobody else is ranked right now. So still some questions in the air about them, but I like Isaac Okoro, a freshman, so from over there down the street at McEachern, and I really like him, and he's likely to be a first-round pick, if not a lottery.
Yeah. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Deshaun Tate. Like I said, you can follow him on Twitter at Tate's Take Hoop, Tate's Takes Hoops. Just going to shift gears to a little NBA right now. And the Hawks are playing up in Brooklyn today, trying to get another win there just to get one, you know, just to get something positive going with this team. I'm going to make an appeal later on today for Trae Young, people to vote for Trae Young. What does it say, the fact that he's leading all the guards in the East, just a second-year player? As far as votes,
I think it's outstanding, and even more so to be doing it on a team that has the worst record in the NBA. But I think a lot of that, of course, we still have a little ways to go because of the fact that you know, this is just a fan voting. So you will also see Taco Fall in that same conversation, which I think is a little bit ridiculous and a little bit over the top. But I definitely want to, you know, challenge some of the people here in Atlanta. I've been saying it, you know, for weeks. Challenge some of the fan base here in Atlanta to go out there and vote for our guy, because this is a guy who's going to make the All-Star team more than likely for the first time that we've seen, you know, four of those guys from the 60-win team. Could be the first starter since Dikembe Mutombo. We've been going crazy about getting somebody in this city to represent, you know, the Hawks in the All-Star game. So we need to do our part and go out there for a guy who's doing everything he can and putting up 30 and 40 points a game. I'd like to see him certainly get in and kind of demolish the competition in regards to the voting.
Yeah, amazing the way we watched him evolve. And he had his struggles early on part of his rookie season. And then around this time last year, the light bulb kind of went on for him. And then we started to see the Trae Young that we're seeing now. And he's captured the imagination of fans in other parts of the country, much like someone who's celebrating a 60th birthday this weekend. Dominique Wilkins, by the way, happy birthday to Neek. 60, boy, that makes me feel old. But for 60 years old, this guy has a chance to do that type thing. And that's obviously what we're seeing through this All-Star ballot. And yeah, people are going to vote here in Atlanta, but people around the league and around the country are taking notice of what he's doing every night.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is because of his style of play and just how exciting he is as a player. One of the reasons why, you know, so many people fall in love with Steph Curry. And this is just another example as to how he's similar to Steph Curry. And I know that people hate that comparison, but I love it because he not only reminds you of Steph Curry in regards to this, to the style of play, but that's just another reason as to why you see so many votes for him, is because the kids love to see Steph Curry. You're talking about a guy who can make three-pointers and ridiculous shots and everything else. And I'm a huge advocate, obviously, of Trae Young, and I just really like to see him go out there and demolish the voting, because I think that it's well-deserved. He put a lot of hard work in, and I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, he's done it for well. Look at the top of the top vote-getters. I guess no surprise there, LeBron James and Giannis for the East. I guess those are the guys that you would expect to see be the top vote-getters.
Yeah, you know, you got Luka Doncic in that conversation, which is expected. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the All-Star game because it seems like there's not a whole lot of competition. But at the end of the day, you know, where you're going to get some of the best basketball. And there's not a lot of guys, like I said, that they're making an All-Star appearance, more than likely, if everything goes right and follows suit, you know, in their second year in the NBA. So hats off to him and Luka Doncic for what they've been able to do. And I just can't wait until it gets here. And I just really hope to see these votes go through the roof for Trae, man, because he's very deserving. But as far as this team goes, man, I was a little bit disappointed in their performance in the way that, you know, against the Washington Wizards, because I think that that's a game that they, you know, really should have won. They seem to be turning the page. The needle is moving for them a little bit. We feel a little bit more optimism. A lot of that is because of John Collins and coming back, and the effect that he has not only on the court but off the court in that locker room. It seems like the frustration level has kind of died down a little bit. I just hope that they get a little bit more production and contribution in the front court, because I don't like the idea of John Collins playing the center position. Kind of takes us back to Al Horford when he played center for so long here in the A.
Got some guy, and I got to let you go here in a minute, but looking at the schedule coming up, it's kind of difficult. They got Phoenix coming up, San Antonio, Detroit, and then King Holiday game against the Raptors. So it doesn't get any easier for this team.
Yeah, I like to think they'll probably go 1-3 in those games. But, you know, I do think that 2-2 is within reach. I just really hope that this is a team that gets some things turned around pretty soon. I don't know where we're at in regards to trading for a big man. I know Andre Drummond has come through, so like that's died down. Even Steven Adams as well. But get that guy Trey some help, because him and a couple other guys, they definitely need it and they deserve it.
Yeah, they do. Sean, always great talking hoops with you, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you much. That takes Take Hoops on the Twitter.
All right, we'll watch and see what those Spartans do later on today, too. That is Deshaun Tate joining us and giving us great information, as always. All right, stay tuned. Next hour, we're going to be talking college football. But up next, someone who hadn't gotten the winner's circle in a long time wins, and a local winner as well, down under. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on this side of the glass on this Sunday morning. So glad you're with us wherever you are. And mentioned earlier, hope things are well in your area or your surroundings after the weather that came through this last night and this yesterday evening that did some damage around our listening area. But we hope that everything is well where you are, that there's no standing water or any trees that are down that fell on any property and made any damage, or some roofs we understand that were damaged in some areas up in Paulding County and up in Carroll County and Bartow and Floyd. Had some of those things going on, but hope you're getting the services that you need today to get those things all fixed and remedied. So that's what we're hoping that you're able to get today. And it's clear be nice view from nine floors up here at Midtown today. It looks nothing like what it looked like yesterday when things were just.
Here comes the sun. Look at that moon, man. No, we're here.
Really?
It's over there. It's like you can see the full moon. Man, walk over here a little bit.
I can't walk over there, man. I
got, well, you're doing everything else this morning. You might as well walk over here and see a full moon.
Full moon.
See that? Right
you,
there.
Well, you couldn't see. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. And it's bright and big. And
you couldn't see any of that yesterday, man.
No.
It was so dark and cloudy around here. Boy, so yesterday at around 4 or 5 o'clock, it got really dark around here.
This is what Sam and I do, a little insight. So when the rain comes, nasty rain like that, since I'm out west and he's over in the east side of town, I give him a heads up.
Yeah, you do.
I said, this is what's happening, and, you know, give you a chance to prepare. I don't get preparation time. I give you at least about a half hour.
You do. You do. When you called up, I said, okay, it's on the way, and in about a half hour, it ought to be over here. And
I mean,
sure
Dorothy
enough,
didn't even get that. What does – I'm leading you into what you're going to talk about
here.
What does yesterday's win mean – other than the fact that she got the monkey off the back, meaning Serena winning this tune-up to the Australian Open.
Yeah.
And I didn't even ask you, was that final held in a stadium that was had a closed roof?
No.
So they're actually playing in a place, so the air quality is not affecting these matches, at least as
what's
of right
it,
now.
It's in Auckland now. I don't know about
oh, that's right.
They,
I forgot about that. They're not, so that's we got they got a
they gotta go to
got
Melbourne.
A puddle jumper to go over
yeah.
to Melbourne.
Yeah. So that's you know, that there's a different place. Apparently not a problem there. And Serena Williams did win her first tournament win since 2017 Australian Open. And at the time, she was playing and expecting.
Right.
At the time, she was playing. And so she and baby Olympia were there at the end to pose with the trophy. And she mentioned afterwards she was going to do something for the people who are suffering with those fires in the air. She's going to make a financial donation. I think she's donating her prize money check. Donating her
43
prize,
grand.
Donating the prize money along with a dress from each match that she played, which is something that could be auctioned off.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
I just said that out loud and I thought about who it was going to.
Yeah. I'm like,
Serena Williams, the check for her victory was less than 50 grand.
Yeah.
She got shoes that probably cost that much. Don't you think?
I don't know if
you got
shoes.
She got some wardrobes, I bet.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
If
now,
you put
yeah.
the whole outfit together, I guarantee you
oh, yeah.
it's more than 50.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got them.
And so this is pocket change.
Yeah. It was all about getting the win, getting tuned up, getting, you know, obviously getting points, obviously. But right now, her thing at this stage in career, 38, at this stage, it is being prepared and fine-tuned and finishing the deal and being prepared to play 2 weeks of tennis.
But here's the thing. You wish she had got that tying victory before this match. In other words, she's sitting one behind, or she tied with Margaret Court. Her and Margaret Court are sitting at 24 total major wins, right?
23.
She's got 23.
23.
Okay, so she can only tie her today.
Yep.
Or after this tournament.
At the Australian Open.
See, I wish she'd have got it beforehand because she – and the thing about Margaret Court, she don't even show up at these things anymore, right? And in the main stadium named after her.
Yep.
And she got a real problem with.
Well, I know she's made. There's one court name, but the main one is Laver.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, Laver.
But she's got a problem with tennis and actually a lot of folks these days. I remember they did a story on her a couple years ago. I saw it, and she's completely removed from who she used to be.
Yeah. She really turned the page. But I think, I would like to think if Serena's there in the final this time that she would make an appearance. I would like to think. We'll see. You know, it's history, and it's right there in our own backyard. She ain't not like she got to fly to other part of the world for it. You know, unless she's conveniently out of town.
If you get a chance, I don't know. I think it was Real Sports or one of those did one of those stories on Margaret Court and who she was. Plus, as far as I'm concerned, her victories. Her total victories have a bit of an asterisk next to them because of the 24. Didn't she get like 16 at the U.S. Open, up at the Australian Open, where she got them at home?
It's true.
She didn't do a lot of traveling around the world, okay, like Laver and some of the other Australians. I get it. It's not an easy truck from Australia, but it didn't stop Rod Laver.
No.
Didn't stop a lot of Australian athletes from bopping around the planet. But she, for whatever reason, listen, a win is a win is a win, right?
You got American players that didn't do much. Jimmy Connors didn't do much Australian Open.
But he went and played down there.
But not as much.
Chris Everett was forever labeled as the she's the darling of tennis when she was playing. But she got a lot of her victories at the French Open. She was a master on clay court.
Yeah.
Right? But yet there's not – she got the majority – the rest of her wins, she got them around the world. Margaret Court, again, go look at her record, and the majority of them, three-fourths of them, if I'm not mistaken, or close to it, were just from this one tournament. And yet she still sits there. I think it's good that she isn't talked about as the all-time great, despite her having those numbers.
Yeah, yeah. It was just – well, that was a different era, though. As you just talk about it, period. It's just, and so.
I got news for you. People still talk about Jack Nicklaus as number one, and that was a different. She was playing around the same time Jack Nicklaus was playing.
That's true.
Right? And you don't hear people saying that about Jack. Jack, he made the circuit. She didn't make the circuit. I think that's a red flag for her. But listen, I'm going to get on out of here. Be sure to let the folks know about, as we talk about tennis and what's going on down under, what we got over here across the street coming up.
Yep. And we got
how's that for a tease?
How about that?
Look at that moon.
You know what I mean?
Look at that moon. Right over there, you know what? Tell them about it.
Oh, because that's just it. We're anticipating an announcement of someone very special to come and play in the women's exhibition at the BB&T Atlanta Open coming up this summer. We're not sure who it's going to be. We think it could be. It could be the person that we're talking about now. Or it could be someone who spent a good deal of their childhood here who has now blossomed on the tennis scene. We're waiting to see and get some official announcement. When we get it, you'll get a hear of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, Serena won the final today in Auckland, but then teamed with Caroline Wozniacki, who's going to retire after the Australian Open, and she's a great friend of hers. They play doubles together, but they lose to a doubles team that includes a local product. Taylor Townsend and Asia Muhammad were winners over Serena Williams and Caroline Wozniacki in the women's doubles final there at Auckland, 6-4, 6-4. So congratulations to Taylor and the Townsend family. And they're all very happy and very proud of her accomplishments as she has climbed into the top 100 singles rankings. But to start the season off with this doubles title is big for her as well. The men are playing the ATP Cup. It's come down. Novak Djokovic was a winner today over Rafael Nadal, and we'll see who finishes up winning that one. It's been a competition of countries playing against each other to get things started down in Australia as the Australian Open starts a week from tomorrow, a week from Monday. Matter of fact, this time next week, at night, our time, the tournament will start. That's coming up, Australian Open. All right, next hour, got a special guest in studio. Going to talk about the championship game and the movies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.